what are some of the biggest differences, you know, that you've noticed from dealers, you know, in what they're doing to kind of manage this situation? And I hate the cliche, but I'm going to say it, this new normal that they're working in.
The thought that we'll go back to exactly where we were 3 months ago and you know, all of this will get forgotten just doesn't seem, you know, very likely at this point. But the number one piece of feedback that we've had from members is all of these things that you've been telling us for the last 2 years, we now want to do them now. You know, all of these things that we've been, you know, talking about, people are now embracing, but they want them immediately.
You'll have to forgive me if I get a little excited when it comes to things related to digital in the retail space. And that's typically the case, as it were, when you talk to Nationwide's president of digital and technology, Mr. Dev Mukherjee, and that's the voice you heard right there. And Dev and I had recently an awesome conversation around what's going on in the digital space right now for the independent channel. Obviously, you know, as we know, we're still in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic, and a lot of things have changed, and a lot of that has been driven by, you know, of course, stores being closed and retailers then turning to websites and digital opportunities to kind of continue to engage with and interact with and sell things to their customers, you know. And as such, Dev, in the position that he's in, has been able to track and kind of keep his finger on the pulse of what's going on from a digital point of view in the independent channel. So him and I recently, you know, thought it was a good idea to get together and ramble on about, you know, what we're both passionate about. And, you know, that's of course, the independent retail channel and digital. So had a great conversation about, you know, what he's seeing, how different store types, you know, what they're doing, how they're differing from one another and kind of what they're taking advantage of, you know, where the traffic is, kind of how this space has thrived, you know, during this time, and, you know, what he's sort of looking to as well in the future as far as, you know, what opportunities something like this situation that we're living through presents kind of moving forward. I mean, we're really stress testing this kind of stuff, this technology right now. So, you know, what could we see in the next couple of months, couple of years, you know, as more of this technology is adopted and retailers really get behind, you know, e-commerce and chat and maybe even sprinkle in a little bit of virtual reality talk in there as well. So really just a great conversation, one that I think, you know, like all of them, I could say this a million times, but it is important, you know, for independent retailers to hear. So don't want to delay it anymore. So we're just going to dive into our conversation with Dev Mukherjee of Nationwide. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and anytime Dev and I sit down, Dev Mukherjee, president of digital and technology for Nationwide Marketing Group, we have a good time. I think so. Don't you, Dev? We have good conversations.
Always. We do. We very wide ranging conversations. Yeah, you ask very, as you should, very provocative questions, and I appreciate the follow up.
Certainly. And actually, a little funny known fact about me, you know, usually when we end up talking, we get into, you know, surveys and data, obviously, and that sort of thing. And numbers are something that I've always been intrigued by, even though I'm someone that writes things. The funny known fact getting around to it is that my SAT scores back in the day, my math way outperformed my reading and writing comprehension. So, yeah, maybe I was meant to be more of a numbers guy, but somehow fell into writing and telling stories. So I don't know how that worked out.
hey, Robert, if this communications gig doesn't work out for you, we have a couple of spots on the analytics team. I think, you know, Mark and Tolka and Scott would be delighted to have you on the team.
Who knows? We'll see. Maybe someday. Don't tell Amy that. Don't tell the communications guys that. So no, but Dev, you know, I appreciate you, you know, taking some time and coming to chat. I know we've got some cool things to talk about today, but before diving into that, you know, this is a chance to kind of catch up. We're still in the midst of everything going on with, you know, the COVID situation and all that. So, you know, it's been 2 months, 10 weeks now at this point, I think. Crazy to think about how that's flown by. But, you know, first off, how's – I know you and I work from home, so we haven't really changed much in our day-to-day. But how has this situation been for you?
You know, I think you said it. It's, you know, I all of the words are cliched. Unprecedented, you know, crazy, you know, things moving all the time. Honestly, what's amazed me – for both my own family and for the company is how easily we've got into it. Of course, you know, we miss, particularly kids miss seeing their friends, and, you know, we can't all get together sort of company-wise as well. But, you know, touch wood, the transition to working from home across the company went really well. You know, my kids started doing, you know, remote learning. The teachers did an amazing job of kind of laying that stuff out. And, yeah, in fact, my son said about a month in, wow, you know, we get 2 or 3 hours back, you know, during the day, because, you know, we don't have to get on the bus and we don't have to wait anywhere. We just get our work done, and then there's all this extra time to play. and so so there are definitely some upsides. I mean, as you know from our other conversations, things have just been really busy. So I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny. I always found myself, you know, working from home, you can kind of be more productive. So now, you know, you talk about kind of taking, you know, a cue from your son, get some hours back in the day that, you know, when you're in front of your computer, yeah, we have a lot of Zoom meetings or Microsoft Teams meetings in our case, but, you know, there's the opportunity to sit down uninterrupted in front of your computer. It's something that, you know, clearly is, I think, is undervalued so, sort of from the office space and thinking about what work in an office is like. But, you know, it's been interesting. It hasn't been as much of an adjustment, I don't think, as, you know, a lot of people would have anticipated. We're still in contact. We still get to do meetings like this. So, but yeah, like you said, a lot of work, a lot of things have happened in these 10 weeks.
I would say, just as a follow-up to that, you know, two kind of interesting things that have popped up in, you know, a couple of the town halls I've done. One, I'm trying to remember, it was someone, I think, from Winston, Maria or Paula, who said, I told them that, you know, Dean and Scott and Amanda and I frequently, you know, have meetings where, you know, we each grab a cup of coffee and sit around and kind of shoot the breeze. And it helps with the human connection, as well as catching up on all of the things that aren't around a specific topic. And I apologize, I forget who it was, but they said, yeah, you know, we've started to do that. We've got the team together for coffee chats. And you know, I've been doing kind of remote meetings for, gosh, the best part of 20 years now, with teams around the world when I was at IBM and at Microsoft. And those sort of kind of impromptu coffee mornings, you know, lunch, when people are all over the world even, is actually very, very good. The other thing I'm starting to hear from friends in the industry, that, you know, particularly with the way the sort of family situation is moving, that people may want to choose to work from home even after all of this settles down, because of the availability of kind of school and camp and, you know, trying to protect, you know, older parents in particular. And so I think we're going to see a continuing shift to more flexible working across the economy.
Yeah. And I mean, you can get into all the things that you see, the adjustments that bigger tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, you know, offering essentially through this, the opportunity, hey, if you don't want to come back to the office, stay at home, work from home. So it's something that, you know, I think that transition to kind of working from home has always been there and happening, but this kind of kicked it into high gear and was like a major case study in what it's like for people to work from home. So certainly something, a nice segue too. You know, you talk about the digital technologies and kind of what they've enabled businesses and individuals to do in this time. You know, we've kind of gotten a glimpse at that firsthand from an independent retail side of things. And I know you've been fielding a lot of questions from members and, you know, even from some staff here at Nationwide about, you know, what's been changing, what's been happening. So, you know, from that, you know, kind of high level perspective to kind of start, you know, what are some of the biggest differences, you know, that you've noticed from dealers, you know, in what they're doing to kind of manage this situation? And I hate the cliche, but I'm going to say it, this new normal that they're working in.
I think it's a great question. And just to pick up one thing quickly, I've actually been calling it the next normal, as opposed to even the new normal, because, you know, actually, you know, Jenna at AWS, you know, really helped me with a lot of this this thinking. And we're actually seeing it in a lot of what we're doing at AWS on Sign on Time. We think that there are going to be multiple phases. You know, the thought, you said we've been at this for 2 months, the thought that we'll go back to exactly where we were 3 months ago, and you know, all of this will get forgotten, just doesn't seem, you know, very likely at this point. You know, there's going to be a next normal in June, and then a next normal in maybe July and August, and then, you know, depending on what we see, a next normal in maybe the fourth quarter. So I think there are going to be multiple phases. To go to your question about, you know, what we're seeing with the members, it's very hard to avoid, as you're saying, you know, cliches and all the things that one might say here, but the number one piece of feedback we've had from members is, and Jen Danko gave me this, all of these things, so someone actually said to her directly, all of these things that you've been telling us for the last 2 years, we now want to do them now. And so you can check them off, your website, e-commerce, chat, you know, reviews, you know, all of these things that we've been, you know, talking about, people are now embracing, but they want them immediately, which is, our Sign on Time teams, our AWS team, even our marketing teams have all gone through the same transition that the rest of the company has, and all of our partners as well, you know, moving to working from home. And yet all of a sudden, I think Jen was telling me as part of this conversation, the number of her customers, for Sign on Time's customers, you know, who were full e-commerce, essentially doubled overnight, or the demand doubled. Wow. And we got a lot of support, by the way, from the vendors for that. But, you know, a huge amount of interest, you know, on all parts of our platform. So I would say that would be the number one reaction is, stores closed or in danger of getting closed. I got to get online right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it was kind of, you see that too, I think, and you can go to any sort of consumer sentiment survey and sort of how there was a number of studies done on how shopping habits change because of this. And, you know, the natural shift is that if you're stuck at home and can't go to a physical store, that online presence is where you're going to turn. And, you know, we've already seen it. I think you could look at the way customers start their shopping experience these days. And, you know, you could quote the direct number. I think it's something like 80-90% of purchases now begin online, you know, whether the research is done online. So that shift obviously was going to happen. I mean, I don't want to say feeling justified in sort of the message we've been preaching, but it's got to kind of feel sort of rewarding to now see these people, although be it a little stressful, you know, having to handle so many customers coming all at once. But, you know, to now be able to get them to transition online, you know, it has to be something that more work the merrier, I guess, is one way of looking at it for you guys, huh?
Definitely. What's really exciting is really twofold. One, the folks who are on the platform, particularly those that are doing e-commerce, are seeing 200-400% increases. And those that we're getting on the platform pretty quickly are also seeing dramatic increases. And, you know, you've seen some of the data, particularly in the appliance area. April actually turned out to be a pretty good month because there were new ways of communicating with customers and being able to fulfill transactions. I talked to one member whose store was actually closed. He told me he had a delivery of, I think it was 80 freezers. 40 of them had already been, you know, purchased. another 40 went that day. How did they know about the freezers through the website, through an email blast? And so whether the transaction actually took place on the website or they called up, being able to leverage the website to be able to stay in business and actually grow business during this difficult time has actually been exciting.
You mentioned appliances, and I know that was, I think, you know, that was one of those industries where, you know, those stores were deemed essential for the most part across the country and able to stay open. And so you look at a category then like furniture and bedding. I know they had a different experience as these lockdowns were put in place. From the digital side and what you were seeing, was the experience sort of different from one category to the next, or what, you know, what did you see from that perspective as far as, you know, what the different category stores, you know, were able to take advantage of from a digital perspective?
Yeah, a great question. Actually, we need to use some podcast magic here and insert this the slide that I'm putting up that actually came from Google. That just shows the searches being done in each of the different categories. And as you can see, there was a definite dip for furniture and bedding, not office furniture and working from home furniture, but you know, generally, you know, furniture. But as you can see, a massive, massive increase compared to where we were just in January of people searching online for all of these categories. And so, mm-hmm. I think your point on changing consumer behavior, I think this slide shows it. To come back to the actual experience, I think things were very tough in the first few weeks for our members who were selling primarily furniture. I spoke to one member who had over $300,000 worth of merchandise that was scheduled to go out for delivery. And he said to me, I don't know what the rules are. You know, do we deliver it and we leave this really heavy stuff, you know, outside the front door, or you know, what can we do? Because if you remember, even a month ago, we didn't know what was actually either allowable based on the rules or even appropriate, given the nature of the disease. And so, I think they were hit, you know, quite hard. But what's been fascinating, you know, as we saw in the search chart, is many of the members who stayed open across category and reported that their stores were closed to our MSM team continued to see a lot of traffic on their websites and a lot of transactions. And so those who kind of stuck with it, you know, continued to get organized digitally, maybe even did some marketing to tell the customers that they're open, have definitely seen an uptick.
So I related, but maybe switching gears a little bit, you know, kind of going back to the earlier point about all these services and offerings that members have been able to and have taken advantage of at this time. I think, you know, kind of hearing what you talk about, the marketing side of things, there's the website, the e-commerce side, there's chat that I know we've been talking a lot about, you know, as Nationwide, there's a lot that goes into this. And I think even to some members who, you know, despite how many have kind of reached out about this, there's still certainly going to be some that are kind of hesitant or maybe even a little scared of all the things that go into website building, website managing, things like that. What's sort of the thing, I mean, maybe leaning on some of what's happened, you know, over these past few months, you know, what are some of the things you can say to, I guess, alleviate those fears and kind of simplify this process for them?
Simplify the process to digital
of becoming that sort of digital retailer and you know, using a situation like this and turning it from something that could be, you know, bad for business to some of these dealers that are realizing actual success right now.
So I think that's a great question, and a lot of the reason that we started this even a couple of years ago. I haven't met anybody yet who thinks any of this stuff is bad, but they are scared. And, you know, I've spent most of my career in this space. And so I don't really find it that scary because of what I understand. But I really am very sympathetic, very empathetic for folks who much of this stuff is new. The unknown is always scary. But the reason that we got into this space is to help with that. Because we have this ongoing relationship with our members, they trust us. They know that we're in it for the long haul. They know that we understand the industry. And so we've built these platforms to be as simple to implement as possible. From even something as simple as the catalog of all of the products and the images and prices, we've worked very closely with vendors to get all of that. And then as we've talked about at primetime a couple of times, these systems are now, turnkey. If a member chooses to work with us at either CytoTime or RWS, we can actually do 99% of the work to get them up and running with a website. And then again, almost all of the work when it comes to digital marketing or setting up some of these systems. Now, if we set up chat for them, they're going to have to learn how to use chat and video to communicate with customers. But even there, we can help them with advice and best practice. So, probably if you haven't done it before, a little intimidating. But, that's why we're here to help walk them through the process, tell them, what we've experienced with many other, literally hundreds of other members, and then help them with best practices so that they can actually leverage all of these capabilities as best as possible.
That's awesome. And I mean, there is a lot of opportunity, I think, and options open to members, which is cool to see. And it's constantly evolving. And we talked a lot about so far on the member side. Are you seeing anything on the vendor side as far as, what they're doing and are they going more online? Has this situation impacted the way they do business with our members and that sort of thing?
Sure, that's a number of things together. Let me kind of break it off a little bit. So first, I want to say to everybody watching, listening, that our vendors have been incredibly supportive. They've had a kind of similar reaction to the members. A number of the things that we've been talking about for years, they've suddenly said, wow, now we really need to get on top of it. And so particularly in the data area, so how can we get more product information? How can we get live feeds around inventory so that a dealer can sell not only what's in their warehouse, but what's also in the local regional distribution center for the vendor, and then pricing information so that pricing can be kept automatically up to date. All of those areas, the vendors have been very supportive. The other thing that they've done, which was very exciting, is that they've decided, a number of big vendors have decided to help our members adopt some of these technologies. So support getting e-commerce up and running from not just our biggest members, but actually a number of our kind of smaller members as well. They've done this before, supporting MemberNet TV and supporting flash tags, which are good for the entire industry. And so it's good to see them do that. The last thing out of three, I guess, is yes, we have seen Whirlpool last year and now GE announcing that they will sell online. And a number of our partners in other categories also sell through online channels. So not just themselves, but through online retailers. What's interesting is in the consumer durable space, I firmly believe that consumers will continue after all this is over, wanted to see the product at some point. And even if they don't want to see the product, they want to talk to a local expert that can actually help them decide what to buy. And so even the big manufacturers and the big online retailers are not going to be able to deliver the same expertise that Nationwide and definitely our members can provide. And so in many ways, although this kind of shift to digital, shift to online, shift to buy on websites may seem a little scary, I think that expertise, that knowledge, that ability to pick the right assortment and guide and support the customer will actually help our members win out in the long run.
Following on that, maybe a lofty sort of question, put the thinking cap, your wizard's cap on, Dev. What then, and borrowing your phrase of next normal, what is that next normal for this blend of digital and in-person shopping for the independent retailer?
I think the immediate next normal for independent retail is going to be what some are calling scheduled shopping. So scheduled shopping is essentially making an appointment to either do a chat or a call or video or visit the store. So the unplanned kind of dropping in to browse, I think will probably go down certainly over the next few months. But the booking of an appointment to say do a video chat, to be able to see the product, talk about the product, look at where the product is going to go, get some advice, I think we're going to see a massive uptick in that. And actually a significant uptick in appointment booking so that someone can schedule to come to the store, take a look and buy. What I actually think is very exciting about that is what could be a better indicator of consumer interest than booking a meeting? Yeah. And saying, I'm going to show up at this time to have this discussion. In fact, we're already seeing it, the conversion rate. So the measure of how many browsers versus purchases we see on chat is it's much higher in terms of the number of purchases. So the amount of, if you measure this as sales productivity for our retailer, productivity around kind of chat, video, or scheduled appointments, I expect to be much higher. Now, you're going to have to work harder to capture those customers in because people are not going to just be kind of driving by and dropping in so much. But I do see that the scheduled shopping phase is going to be very good and very productive for our members, maybe, if they can support it.
Yeah, right. And maybe that kind of lends nicely to sort of what I was going to close on. And that's, you know, thinking ahead to kind of the technologies that, you know, you've seen what's been adopted during this time, but obviously, with technology, things change. Things get upgraded, new systems, new capabilities, things like that. Is there anything you're kind of looking to as far as what's next for, you know, the independent retailer from a digital perspective?
Sure. You know, it's actually across the range of the things that we've been talking about. I think for many, the move to full e-commerce, at the very least, showing availability and pricing on the website and allowing the customer to get right up to the point of purchase, maybe even scheduling delivery, that is going to become the standard that is expected. I think it's going to be very challenging for anybody who does not want to show pricing in particular on their website, and availability is a close second to that. So I think that's very important. We're doing lots of things to make that even easier for our members. In terms of what's next for many, it will be some of the things that we were just chatting about. Chat on the website, chat including video, so that you can actually do a sales call online, very much as we're doing this sort of video podcast. And then scheduling. I think those are the two new areas that we're experimenting with some stuff and helping our members to get started. So I think those will be the key areas. Looking further into the future, as we've chatted on some of our other calls, we're looking into augmented reality and virtual reality as ways to experience the product or browse the product more easily in when you're online as opposed to in the store. And I think we'll see some of those things maybe before the end of the year, just maybe as experiments first, but we're definitely looking at both of those areas.
A Westworld shopping experience is something I think I could get behind and buy into. So personally, you know, I think that'd be pretty neat. You know, throw me virtual VR into, you know, get one of those full whole body suits where you can get the sensory stuff happening. I'm in. If you need a test dummy, I'm there.
Just so I don't get a call from Tom asking when that's happening, just to be very clear, I think step one might be a virtual experience just so you can browse, you know, maybe a kind of a prime time kind of show type experience to see, I mean, I think, you know, we're kind of joking a little bit here, but I think this is going to be exciting. How much will consumers want to do this, you know, versus what will actually be useful? again, I know you're joking, but for shopping at least, do I really need to have the full environment where I can kind of touch and smell, or is it sufficient to be able to navigate that way, to be able to, because as humans, we're used to kind of exploring places, right? And so rather than clicking on a website, you know, looking for categories, maybe it is easier to walk around this virtual space. My kids play Minecraft, and you know, one of the things that they love to do is they get into a new world is to look around to see what's there.
Yep.
And to get some surprises. You know, maybe you know, that will be the initial starting point where consumers still want that surprise and that excitement around the exploration of shopping. And so, you know, maybe VR will be where we start. But
and I don't think we're that far off, because you look at some of the you know, the services and you know, things that are out there right now. I think a specific example, you know, I can think of two, one in furniture and bedding and one in appliances. We have Mrs. G's and Sweet Dreams that both have, and I know there's a few more, these are just two that come to mind. They have virtual tours of their stores on their website. So it's not that big of a leap to think that, you know, they're Google Maps type experiences, but that you could throw yourself, throw a VR headset on, get in that experience and basically be walking around their store, you know, in kind of that environment in their store, you know, in a VR environment. So I don't, you know, it sounds crazy. And we, like you said, we joke that it's very futuristic, but I don't think it's in the very distant future if it's not already happening, you know, in some ways already.
Yeah, Rob, you're exactly right. And I think those are two great member examples. This has ceased to be, amazingly, this has ceased to be a technology problem. The technology can support the experiences that you're describing. The question will be,
yep,
what do our members and what do their customers want to do? And what will they get the most out of? And so I'm very excited to do all of the things that we're doing today and seeing what the impact is for the members. But some of these areas where we have the scale and the relationships that allow us to invest, I think are going to be super exciting areas to explore.
It's awesome. And, you know, can't wait to get there with you and see what it's like. But for now, I know I've taken up a ton of your time and you know, it's always fun. It's fun talking with you. And it's also hard. It's fun to want to keep going, hard to get us to stop. So I know we get to a point where, you know, we're lucky if people are still listening to us, but, you know, we love them for if they are. So.
Well, if they are still listening, I always enjoy these chats because I think your questions are great. And I think the more that we can get this information out there, the more we can stimulate the conversation. And I'm always impressed with how many of our colleagues are getting on board for, you know, whether it's using Teams internally or having these sort of conversations with our members. And so I encourage anybody who's listening to reach out and ask questions, and maybe we'll do this again to answer some of the questions that come up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dev, appreciate you taking the time, like I said, and, you know, I know we'll catch up again soon. So till then, stay safe, stay healthy.
You too. You too. Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, and a huge thanks again to Dev for taking time out of his schedule, bringing some awesome facts and data points to the table for this discussion. And if you're listening to this, you know, we have the video up on our YouTube channel where you can check out some of those charts and graphs that Dev was referring to during our talk today. So, but as always, you know, appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.